You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new report led by the University of Otago Wellington has found high rates of abuse and harassment against female members of parliament in Aotearoa. 11 MPs from across the political spectrum participated in the study, which found they were regularly harassed, threatened with rape, and even death threats. The study is led by Dr. Rhiannon Watson and Dr. Lucy Hammonds and builds on previous research into the harassment of MPs. I spoke to Dr. Lara Greaves, Ngāpuhi Pākehā Tarara, Associate Professor in Politics at Victoria University, about the study and its broader context in Aotearoa and global politics. I started by asking if she could explain the key findings of the study.
Well, firstly, it's great that a group of researchers have decided to take on this topic. So they talked to 11 different women MPs, and in an interview setting, and talked about their experiences of harassment. Basically, what we see is a lot of harassment, a lot of abuse, offline and online, abuse and harassment towards their whānau as well, and the people around them too. And just really overall negative and quite shocking experiences. We see that it's been layered with misogyny and, you know, intersectionally as well. So things like racism at play and other kind of ways that people express themselves are reviewed by the public. So it's overall just really a shocking set of findings.
One thing the study noted was different political contexts impact the level of vitriol. What difference did Jacinda Ardern's resignation make?
Anecdotally, in this article, you know, from the MPs that they talked to, and also just from speaking to people, public figures around the place, it seems as though with Ardern out of power that the harassment has lessened to some extent. And this is kind of discussed in the paper as well. So what we can kind of see there is that this context is really important and that there are other things in the broader political environment that do lead to, for some reason, enabling or, you know, creating barriers for people who are seeking to harass public figures, really. There's some stuff in the context that's really important there.
Do we have any idea of what is motivating this level of rhetoric?
It's interesting. There's a lot of different theories around and a lot of different things in the academic literature. There's those broader structural theories around misogyny, you know, sexism, racism, all of the isms, all the prejudice, and the way that our institutions uphold those systems of power. So there's that broader structural context. Then, of course, there's the things, you know, as we were talking about before, where it's like who's in power and what are the issues of the day. That seems to be another sort of intersecting factor. There's also things like whether, you know, leaders or politicians or other public figures are really condemning the behaviour or supporting it in some way. That's been a theory. Some studies have shown that, you know, if a young man thinks that other men in his life would support his actions, he is more likely to harass someone online. There are individual level factors as well. You know, studies of these sort of online harassers overseas have shown that it is the people who are lower on empathy. It is the people who are higher on what they call dark triad traits, you know, the people that do like hurting others. And there's just a lot of different, like, individual and societal level factors here that interact and intersect and what is ultimately a really complicated problem.
What could the impact of this be on our democracy?
The big, big concerns for democracy from this study and others is that it has some kind of chilling effect on people, you know, like women, non-binary, queer communities, you know, ethnic minority communities, on Māori, on those, and people, you know, with the intersections of all of those sorts of characteristics. And I'm sure I've missed a heap of sort of groups that it's really important to represent. So if you're from a marginalised group, or many marginalised groups actually, and you're looking at the politics and seeing people get harassed, people have their children targeted, people have their partners targeted, then that is actually something that you weigh up in terms of going into politics or not. And when you're there in office, it's something that you weigh up as to whether to stay or not. And I think generally people view this as unfair. So it's unfair that some people are targeted or harassed more than others. And the ultimate goals of democracy is we're meant to have a representative democracy that represents the public in some ways. So the real possible downstream effects of this, and we're starting to see discussion of it, is whether it means some groups just don't get represented in the parliament. And we know there's been some voices missing from the decision-making table.
Is this a problem that is unique to us, or something we're seeing in other places as well?
This is a worldwide problem, so it's not unique to us. If anything, It's interesting, with these sorts of trends, Aotearoa tends to be a little bit behind the rest of the world, so we do have that time to look at other cases, such as the UK and the US and all those other countries we compare ourselves to, kind of see what they've done and what we could do and observe what's happened there. So generally, this is a worldwide problem. A lot of experts are saying it's exacerbated by social media and the access we have to public figures, politicians and the like. Like back in the day, if you were going to mail off harassment, that would take quite a bit, or, you know, finding someone's phone number and finding them up, whereas now it's just a couple of clicks and you can harass someone. So there's all of those factors, but, yeah, social media seems to be the kicker here.
And what can be done to address this issue?
There's also a lot of different views on what can be done to address the issue. So there's kind of a set of factors at a kind of very individual level, like, hey, keep yourself safe, those sorts of things. But we know that those create a lot of emotional labour and a lot of work for people to do to keep themselves safe, and can actually then add to that burden from people from marginalised groups that then they didn't have to shoulder. So there's those individual level factors. There's factors that are more structural or are more, say, workplaces or settings. So whether it is things like having a staff member screen emails or help in some way, what we've seen from the study that that also creates negative effects for staff members. So there's those sorts of things. There's people are proposing different technological solutions. There's social ones, such as making sure we create a culture of calling out the behaviour. And in this discussion in the last day or so, the idea of there being more legal sanctions, more making this more illegal, protecting politicians in some way with special laws, that might be a way forward there.
That was Dr. Lara Greaves from Victoria University on new research that shows the high rates of abuse and harassment female members of parliament are subject to.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.